Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, especially to the family of Sylvia Colby. My deepest condolences to you for your loss. The epistle reading from this morning says that we are not to grieve as others might grieve. The reason why we do not grieve as other people might grieve is because we have something called hope. Indeed, the Apostle Paul in our reading, our text from this morning from 1 Thessalonians, says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." So does this mean for each and every one of us, and especially for the family here this morning, that we are not to grieve the loss of Sylvia? Does this mean that we should not cry at funerals and that we should not feel pain? Does this mean that we shouldn't experience sorrow and that we should not mourn? Maybe it means that we should toughen up and pull ourselves up and pull ourselves together and stuff our emotions. Maybe it means that we should pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and keep it all together. Is this what Paul is saying in the Epistle of Thessalonians? Certainly not. The epistle lesson that we read this morning is saying that we can weep, that we can cry, that we can mourn the loss of Sylvia, but we do so without despairing grief. In other words, we do not grieve as if this is the ultimate end, as if there is nothing beyond death. The reason why our grieving as Christians is different than other people is that we have something called hope. Hope that lies in the midst and in the valley of grief. We look at the loss of Sylvia, the pain of death, with hope in view. We hold our sorrow in one hand and hope in the other hand. In other words, we mourn the loss of Sylvia with all of the emotions that come with the loss, but we grieve not as if we are uninformed and not as if we do not have hope. But how is this hope, this great hope that I'm speaking about, the great hope that Paul speaks about in our lesson from today, how does this hope, or how is this hope able to do such tremendous things in the midst of grief and loss? Keep in mind, my friends, that left to itself, the word hope itself is a rather empty word. If you say, or if I say to you, just have hope, that is fairly ambiguous. The reason being, hope needs an object. In other words, hope needs an object. It needs a source. There has to be a source of hope. Our source of hope right here, right now, at Zion Lutheran Church, in this funeral, is the promises of God. This hope is in the promises that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient, truly sufficient, to forgive us all of our sins. This hope is in the promises that Jesus is righteous and that we are holy because we wear Christ's righteousness like a robe. Our hope is in the promises that Jesus is indeed coming back. Our hope is anchored in the promise that a powerful trumpet will blast and penetrate to our dead bodies. Our hope is connected to the promise that there will be a resurrection of the body, that Christ is coming back to take us home unto everlasting life. Unfortunately, the original hearers of this text that we read today, some 2,000 years ago, these original hearers, they heard this and they had misconceptions about what happens after death. Some were worried that when they died, that there was no hope, that they were out of the reach of Christ. There was a lack of hope, and what we could say, misplaced hope. My friends, is it any different for you and me, for us today? In the midst of death, it seems to me that every one of us looks for hope. Death, it has a way of doing that to each and every one of us. Death has a way of bringing about a despair. It dislodges us. It makes us uncertain. Unfortunately, we can end up in despair when our hope fails to be placed where it should, or when our hope is connected to hopeless things. Yes, even the best well-intentioned Christians sin when they place their hope in the wrong places. For example, you and I, we can place our hope in our very own accomplishments. We can place our hope on our own accumulated worth. Thus, when we attend funerals like this, we can begin to think about our own death, death that indeed brings about insecurity. Thus, we attempt to offset this insecurity with hope and assurance. But if not careful, we can end up placing our hope in our own perceived goodness. We say to ourselves, what will be my fate when I die? Well, I'm a pretty good person. You see, it is most unfortunate, my friends, when we place our hope in the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. For we, indeed, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot scrub hard enough to purge the stain of sin from our conscience. Furthermore, we self-deceive ourselves when our hope is placed in our own spiritual resumes, resumes that surely will not overcome the harshness and the sting of death. Now, I could spend some time at this point mentioning some of the wonderful things that Sylvia has done and accomplished in her life. Let me reaffirm you that it is good, especially to the family of Sylvia. It is good to remember and adore these wonderful memories and the workings of Sylvia. However, for the little time that I got to know Sylvia, I am convinced that her hope was not in what she did and did not do. I am convinced that her ultimate hope was not in herself, but it was outside of herself. Her hope was in the Christ, Jesus Christ. Sylvia's hope was in the shed blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. 2 weeks ago, she wept as she received the body and the blood of Christ, given and shed for her, a sinner, body and blood that gifted her forgiveness. Yes, she had hope in something that was unshakable and unsinkable. Her hope was not in herself. It was the same hope that the Apostle Paul speaks about, hope in Christ, her hope in Christ, and your hope in Christ. My friends, hope, it looks outside of us, and it looks beyond death to the death of Jesus. And get this, the death of Jesus was not for himself. It was for Sylvia. It was for you. Indeed, Sylvia, she shared in the death of Jesus. She was washed clean, without spot or blemish. God placed his name upon her in her baptism. Through faith, she was united with him in life and in death. You who have ears, hear this. She was not abandoned at death. In death, Jesus, the Christ, came and took her with him into rest. Rest that was given to her, into the realms of eternal glory. Furthermore, Jesus will also take with him at the resurrection all of the dead. At the last day, Christ will come and the trumpets will sound and Sylvia will hear the beautiful and the powerful voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Lazarus, she will come forth from her grave, alive and with a glorified body. All the pain of her body will be left behind as she will be clothed in splendor and holiness and never-ending life. My friends, we, right here, right now, we do not grieve like others, for we have hope. Furthermore, our hope is not like others, because our hope is not in ourselves, but in a Savior who came and will come for us. We have hope, not in our own abilities to climb, but we have hope in the descent of our Savior to you and me, a Savior that comes to meet us in our death. We have hope right here and right now in the midst of this funeral, as we believe, as we teach, and as we confess that Jesus Christ himself defeated hell, defeated death, defeated sin, and defeated the evil one. We have hope right here and right now as we believe, teach, and confess that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that there is a future resurrection for us who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. My friends, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The one our hope is in.
Night and deep as death broke the light.